this week's parsha, Achrimos Kedoshim, combination parsha. So I guess I'll spend a little bit. There's so much in both parsha. Yesterday we talked about a little bit about Trump, not to be confused with Trump. But anyway, a lot of things happen. The beginning of the parsha focuses on Yom Kippur. One of the things that you do that's strange on Yom Kippur, not you or me, but in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, what would they do? They take two goats and they throw one, la'azazel. So off a cliff, into the midbar. It's hard to figure out what it actually is talking about in the psukim. So I want to know what Shadal has to say about azazel. What is this azazel? Azazel. What is Shadal's opinion? Now, we should give a little bit of background. We've seen many times, Joe, you might remember, how many times Shadal has said, this is based on what people believed at the time. And the Torah didn't want to separate, you know, disabuse them of these beliefs because they're useful. The belief, let's say, that in Ayin Hara, if you count people, it'll bring out the Ayin Hara and you'll get hurt. So Shadal says that when people become very haughty in their wealth or their might, God knocks them down a peg. That is, and it's not even direct God, it's God's Hashgacha Prati. What God set into the natural universe, as it is natural for those who get haughty to be knocked down a peg so that they won't feel so haughty anymore. People attributed that to some kind of demonic force called the Ayin Hara. But it's not the Ayin Hara, it's God's system. So God didn't want to make people not believe in the Ayin Hara because maybe it's not clear why Shadal is upset about that, why he thinks that it should be. Nechama Leibowitz points out, it's not clear from Shadal exactly what God wanted to maintain about this, but it's useful in that even though the actual force is inaccurate, it's not the Ayin Hara, it's God's Hashgacha Prati, the end result is that people believe that if they become too haughty and prideful, they get knocked down a peg and they will prevent themselves from flaunting their wealth or abusing their power. So that was like one example. We have lots of examples throughout Shadal of God likes this belief. It can be attributed to the Hashgacha Pratit of God, and therefore it should stay in the Torah, which is like a halfway to the Rambam, right? The Rambam has this many times in the Mor Nebuchadnezzar. The reason for a mitzvah here is because the people were worshiping Avodah Zarah and blank, and to fix that Avodah Zarah thing. So Shadal is like halfway there. He says, no, it's a really useful idea. It's really a necessary belief. Anyway, okay, so he says the same thing about Azazel, Azazel, this goat that's sent off to Azazel. He says, Nir Shaya Mikodem Shala El Ra. It seems that there used to be a belief in an evil God. Not in Judaism, but that was a ancient belief. I believe in a god, in an evil god called the Satan, a Satan, El Aes, a goat god of some kind, or maybe El Oz, like a strong god. I don't know. Umilat Azazel min az El. He's saying it's saying a goat god. I'm not exactly sure what he's saying.
And so Shadal saying this is.
Hold on. He hasn't said anything about it yet. He's saying it seems to be that Azazel was in reference to a very real being. Not necessarily saying that's what the Torah believes, but the word Azazel.
Not a real being, but a belief.
Hold on. We'll see it. Right. People believed in it before the Torah was given.
That's different than you saying it is a real being.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Fine. Yeah. A believed being. Yeah. You're right. But if you believe in God's unity, that means that you can't believe in other gods. You don't believe in evil gods. Nevertheless, the word itself stayed. It's in the language now. People used to believe in that. Similar to, do you believe in the god of thunder called Thor? Do you? No. And yet, what is the fifth
day? The one who holds the hammer.
The fifth day of the week, what's it called? What's it called? The fifth day of the week?
Thursday,
which comes from, which in Yiddish, it happens to be funny, is called Donnerstag, which means the thunder's day.
stick?
Related. Yeah.
What?
Or a stick. Okay? Okay. So you still will have parts of your language that are holdovers from an idolatrous time, even if you don't believe in that stuff. Right? So you still have that language, that word of Azazel, lehorat, lehorat hara hakamor v'avdun, to mean absolute evil. Not to mean that there is an evil God, but now the word has transferred into, now that the God is known not to exist, that God, that Azazel God. However, the meaning has transferred into the absolute loss and absolute evil. A black hole. Al derech shegam hayom omrim satan. Oh, he gives an example. He says, like how today we call, we use the word satan. We say, I don't know, maybe in Italian he uses the word satan. But, you know, we might say, oh, that's the devil's work, even if you don't believe in the devil.
Just how, like, if someone sneezes, you still say bless you.
Wow. Oh, you're saying because even though nowadays there's nothing to do with, we know it's not an indication of death. Okay, fine. That's an interesting connection. But, like, let's say I say, okay, I'll take devil's advocate. Obviously, I don't believe in the devil in that sense. But it's a holdover of the word. And what are you doing with this goat that you're sending off to the wilderness? It's to die. So if Azazel was a word that indicate absolute destruction, it is a perfect word to use in this sense. And, when the arms of Eretz Yisrael opened wide to accept the Israel that was the smallest among the nations. Very poetic, right? They suddenly found themselves in a barren land. There was pieces of their land that was completely barren.
Welcome to your future.
And what happens? Where a goat might be sent off to die. Okay, that was when they first entered the land. But after a certain amount of time, when the people start moving out, it starts spreading, and you see the, if you're looking at a map and, the little dots represent people, and it starts spreading out from, and it's starting to grow and grow and grow. And they start settling the land. And they can no longer find this completely barren land. I don't know what Shadal was talking about. That eventually everything was cultivated. That's what he's describing. Eventually everything, there was no more barren land. Maybe it's correct. I don't know. But he says,
have you never been to the
Negev? That's what I'm thinking, right? Okay.
Or
that's where it happened.
Maybe he's talking about Italy.
He says, according to Shadal, originally the idea was that you'd send off a goat into the wilderness, it would get lost, and it would die of hunger. It would die of starvation. And then in the temple period, while there's so many people and there's so much land that's taken up, there's no area where a goat would be sent off to that it wouldn't come across a farmer, or it wouldn't come across somebody who would give it some food, or maybe a tree, or something like that it would be able to survive. So what would be the point? So therefore, that's when it was, so to speak, invented to throw a goat instead of into the wilderness off a cliff.
Well, I mean, it's pretty cool.
That's what they did. That's the halacha.
While you're falling from a cliff.
Yeah, I guess so. She'im located. Because if they didn't do that, and it didn't die from that fall, then it would have just ended up in a settled city, and it would have survived, and then you'd have your sin carbon, like living its best life. It's a bad thing. Okay, so fascinatingly, Shadal says the halacha changed according to the situation, which we've seen maybe Shadal has talked about a lot before. That's number one. And number two is that he's actually combining two different interpretations of what it means to do Seir La'azazel. Different mefarshim take it different ways. What's the pshat and what's the halacha? We know what the halacha is. They threw it off a cliff. But pshat sounds like it doesn't say anywhere that it should be sent off a cliff in the psukim. But we know that's the halacha. Where did that come from? He says it came from the fact that the situation changed. They could no longer just send it out to the wilderness and expect it to die. Fascinating.
So what's the idea? Why are they sending off this Seir Lahazel? What's the idea? What's the point on Yom Kippur? He says it must be related. It's probably related to in Micha Zayin, exactly the idea of Tashlich, which is casting off your sins. The idea was like a symbolic placing of the sins on the back of the goat to be sent away. And then the shliach would send it off. And so all the sins would also be sent off el eretz gezerah to this barren land. And the symbolism was, he doesn't say it's symbolism, maybe they actually believe this, but that the people were now clean of sin. All of it had been sent to that goat, and that goat died off, and now we are clean, we can start a new life. We have declared, so to speak, bankruptcy. And now we can start a new phase of our lives with a new year. Fascinating comment from Shadal about the Seir Lahazel. I wrote in the beginning of the year, Migdal Moments, about maybe some other ideas about the Seir Lahazel we won't get into. Should we do one more? Let's do a little bit more. One more. Much shorter one. This is also an Achrimot. It's in Yud Zayin, Yud Gimel. It says that when you slaughter an animal, and not a behema, by the way, when you slaughter a chaya or an oaf, and not a behema, chaya is a wild or undomesticated animal, and an oaf is a
bird. Fowl,
right, exactly. So you're supposed
to... Or fowl?
Both. What's the difference?
No, I'm saying, is this talking specifically about fowl, or is it talking about like birds in general?
Birds in general. When you slaughter them for your eating, they, you know, the kosher ones, right? And you...
Malika.
But you also have to... The blood is dropped on the ground, is flows to the ground. What are you supposed to do with that? With that blood?
Kisrei
Hadam. Kisrei Hadam. You're supposed to cover it. Here's what it says in Yud Gimel. V'ish mi'bnei Yisrael. U'minagera gar b'tochu. Any man from Israel or any stranger among you. Asher yatsud seid chaya o'of. Who traps. It's an interesting language, by the way. You know, there's a lot of halakha to learn out from this. But who traps a wild animal or an oaf or a bird or fowl. Asher yachel. That he wants to eat. Vishafach edamo, he should spill out the blood. Vikisau ba'afar, and he should cover it with dirt. Why? Why do you cover the blood with dirt? Every mafarish has a different.
He's a
You're thinking of the Azazel stuff. But why are we doing this? You know,
so
the kids will ask questions.
So far,
is that
Arab Rosh Hashanah.
Every mafarish has a different answer. So Rav Kook has, I think it's a unique answer. You can. If you've ever heard this before from somebody else, let me know. But Rav Kook says it's obviously to demonstrate that we're ashamed that we had to kill an animal for our sustenance. We're ashamed at having spilled the blood of a living animal for ourselves. And so you cover the blood because you're ashamed of it. You don't want to see it because it's shameful. I think he's unique in that. Although maybe you can read it into the Sefer Chinuch, kind of has something towards that, but everybody has a different answer. Like, it's to cover the blood to render it unfit for eating because you're not allowed to eat blood. So you cover the blood to make sure nobody's tempted maybe to eat it. The Rashbam says something like that, Fiskini as well. Others point out, I think this is the Sfarno, that there was a belief that when there was blood around, a pool of blood, that meant that demons would come. Demons would surround the blood and dance around the blood. Okay, so there was a belief that, I don't know if the Sfarno is saying that the Torah believed in that, but you cover the blood to make sure that nobody's worried about such things. So what should Shadal say? He says, V'kisei ba'afar. I think it's related because he talks about the ancient beliefs. Kadesh lo yanichu ala karka. The idea is you cover the dirt, the blood, so that it is not left on the ground. B'shvil nefashot ha-metim shetav'ona lishtoto. Kimosha haita emunata goyim akadmonim kinira bahormi homirus. Homers. Homer, I think.
Humorous?
Homirus.
Humorous.
He says,
or Homer.
There was an ancient belief, I guess he's talking about, that was believed by people like Homer, not the Simpsons Homer, the dead drank the blood that would be spilled on the ground.
Ah! Yes, because they don't have enough of their own, because they are dead.
For Rosenmuller, Omer Derek Kavar Ladam, Rosenmuller says it's actually a respect for the blood itself, so that it's not like, you know, you just spilt the blood and then another animal comes along and licks up that blood. It's inappropriate, you know, you have some respect. Okay. Veli nira, Shadal says, it seems to me, it's so that you don't leave the blood around, because it could be that someone will walk past the blood, and what will they assume about the blood? They'll assume that maybe this is human blood. They'll think a murder happened. If you were walking on the street here and you saw a massive pool of blood, what would you assume? Probably not that there was a deer or that it was a cat.
I would probably think it was a cat.
A massive pool of blood, though. You would assume someone might have just gotten murdered here. Okay. So in order to prevent that from happening, you cover the blood.
Or a very large
cat. And he says, V'shenishpach dam naki be'eretz Yisrael she'i kedusha. The Torah wants to prevent a belief in that people spill innocent blood in the land of Israel. Right? This is before they got into the land of Israel. So that's a very fascinating, you know. He has three reasons. Last one is that he thinks that there's a certain, we should maintain a certain, like, belief about the amazingness of Eretz Yisrael, that people don't murder each other here. That never happens, you know. Unfortunately, we read too much news nowadays.
Isn't this law only applies in Israel?
Yeah, they didn't eat slaughtered animals outside the land of Israel, yeah, in the desert. So only once they got... Oh, you're saying, does this law nowadays only apply in the land of Israel? No, that's true. So it's interesting. I mean, obviously, when the Torah is written, it's for people who are about to go into the land of Israel.
But it's going to be for the Jews, for the... For
and the that's true. The law is supposed to be eternal.
Don't we
but
say that it applies in all time?
It does, even if the reason doesn't necessarily apply.
Yes, it applies in Israel at all times.
So, the point was to prevent a bad name for the people or the land of Israel. And even though we're no longer in Israel, well, we're literally physically in Israel right now. But even though if we're not in Israel, this might fit into that crazy Ramban that nobody seems to accept. The Ramban says it's pretty explicit in the Gemara, I think. Pretty much based in the Gemara, that the only value of mitzvot outside the land of Israel is practice for when you come back. There's no obligation and no, or rather, there's no actual force of mitzvah in Chutz La'aretz. You still have to do it because you're not going to know what to do when you come back to the land of Israel. Right?
Sure.
So anyway, maybe this fits in with that.
Does he not like celebrate Purim?
What do you mean? What is that?
The Jews were outside of Israel at that point.
So?
So you don't have to...
No, again, you have to keep the mitzvot. Because, for a different reason than what the Torah
exile,
says.
No?
What?
That was a mitzvot, like, that came to be after we were exiled from it.
Yeah, they came back to Israel eventually, but... Okay.
Eventually.
But, rabbinical, there can be rabbinical decrees, I guess, that apply in the Chutzlaretz, but
okay.
Anyway, very fascinating types of interpretations that we find in Shadal. Very fascinating stuff. All right,
okay,
here.
God.